Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Happy Friday, wizards! First things first, thanks loads for listening. If you like this, the greatest thing you can do, please, is tell other people about it, however you so please, online, in person, whatever. I'd love that. Also, if you've got spare real life money ever, then go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. It's a wicked website where I swap loads of really good exclusive stuff and content for monthly donations that start quite tiny. Sorry for asking for money. I know it's disgusting, but it's a necessity. Anyway, this week's guest is the no introduction necessary rising superstar comedian James Acaster. He is such a fascinating kind poppet, and funny doesn't really do it justice. He is repulsively talented. I brought some breakfast round to his brand new flat and we ate it off the floor like heroes. Some bircher and a smoothie. It turns out he's a serious expert on American sweet stuff, puddings, desserts, all of that stuff. But can he guess what's in the boringly healthy smoothie I'd made us? Let's find out. We start, naturally, with quite an in-depth chat about hula hooping. Is that a hula hoop?
Yeah, that's a hula hoop.
Do you hula hoop?
I do now. it was for a show.
Okay.
But I've kept it up because this is so empty.
Yeah.
So I've got rooms on
that. That's so cool. Well, it's supposed to be really good for you.
Yeah, well,
and good for you for like just doing it and going, yeah. I am going to get really good at this.
And also, yeah. Like, I was doing this like little tour with Ben Williams, and I didn't really know what I was. It was a work in progress tour, and I thought, when the audience are coming in, I'll just be on stage practicing my hula. It'll just be a funny thing to do. So yeah, I kind of did two birds with one stone. So it's kind of in my new show as well now.
And you were saying you did no exercise.
Yeah.
Did you get anyone to teach you, or did you just do YouTube videos?
I think my flatmate like tried it and was like, "Oh, this is one of those professional hula hoops. It's actually a lot easier."
Ah, okay.
And he just like said, "This is all you got. You just got to do this."
Because it's actually quite a slight movement, isn't it?
Yeah, really yeah. Slight, and you just got to kind of let the hula hoop do a lot of the work and just.
Right. But like,
yeah, you give yourself a big old one to begin with, yeah, really sling it to begin with.
Awesome.
But yeah.
So I've made us, it depends what you call it on how posh you are, I've learned. I've got, or where you're from, I suppose. I've got like foodie mates from uni that call this bircher.
Uh-huh.
And then I've got American friends that call it overnight oats.
Oh, really?
So that's just oats that you put overnight with yogurt.
My mum used to make herself this long before it was trendy.
Really?
She had it in the fridge, and it was a really nice ritual that she'd do before she went to bed. Or
Oh, good. I'm glad that she enjoyed the ritual before she went to bed, because I find it to be a chore. But we go through patches where I'm doing it every night. Anything that you're doing every night doesn't bode well for my kids at school, and I'm doing lunch. Do you want? I bought pumpkin seeds and chia seeds because they're my favourite things to put on the roof.
Now, chia seeds, do they, like, later on in the day, just puff up in your mouth and grow? Are they those ones?
I think if you put them in the night, they puff and grow like a chia seed tree. Yeah. I think if you put them in overnight, then they go all puffy. They go like a tadpole or like a tasteless.
Yeah.
What's that fish eggs that are posh? Caviar or something.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But if you sprinkle them on now, they don't taste anything, it's just crunch.
Right, yeah, I'll have them. Put them in.
Stick them in. I'll go gentle. Sound. Nice noise, isn't it?
Yeah. They've mainly got the superfood thing going for them, haven't they? People talk about them all the time.
I spoke to one nutritionist who said that superfoods as a thing is a load of bollocks.
Yeah. That's probably true.
I believe her.
Lucky you haven't followed it then.
Pumpkin seed? Won't make as good a noise.
You spoke to a nutritionalist.
Yeah, I did one of these with a grown-up and the rest have been all with clowns. I met her on Woman's Hour, and she's absolutely lovely, and does lots of media stuff, so she was bang up for it.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I wish I'd had 5 hours with her. I had so many questions. I don't know if she's willing to go and talk to me again and again and again.
Maybe.
Well, tons of outtakes, but she said that superfoods are a load of shit. There were loads of fascinating stuff in it. Apparently, like, eating just before bed, probably fine.
Right.
Not having breakfast, probably fine.
Good. I'm glad to hear all this, because that's how I've been living my life. So, that's pretty much... eating before bed. I don't know how people don't do that. I guess because of our job, we come in late, and so we're hungry, and we often haven't, like, eaten at the same time as everyone else. Yeah. But, like, I love getting in and having something...
So nice.
Normally cereal and then no breakfast the next day.
Fair enough, you have your breakfast just before bed.
Yeah.
What's your cereal of choice late in the night?
Well, actually, I've gotten so much more boring as I've gone on. As a kid, we weren't allowed to have, like, sugary cereals in the house all the time. It was like at the start of each month, we were allowed to pick one. And then when that was done, it was done.
Did you have lots of siblings that you'd have to share that one?
Like two siblings. So, like, yeah, one of us, and only one of us would be able to pick, we had to get in turns to be able to pick the sugar cereal.
You're going to have learned some good sharing.
Yeah.
It surely just took a matter of days to smash a box of sugar puffs away.
Yeah, that's it. That is gone. And then.
That's a long old
And it was just how much sugar you could put on your Weetabix, really, to have made that worth it. But, and then, like, I think, as I got, when I was like late teens or whatever, and I was at the keys to my own cereal. I was just buying sugary stuff and going crazy. And then, I suddenly got really scared. I went through a stage, and I'm not so much anymore, but of being so terrified of getting diabetes. I was really scared of it. Because I didn't understand, I didn't understand how it worked. So it doesn't run in my family. I'm not, overweight. I'm not a certain age, so like it was just like ridiculous that I got so. But I thought, just because I've got such a sweet tooth, so I just thought I must be in the running for it. So I just got really scared. So there's certain things I just can't, even though I was still doing have a mega sweet tooth, but like certain things I can't do, and I just can't start the day with like something that's like really sugary,
super sweet.
Yeah, like, or if it is sweet, like stuff like this will be nice and sweet, but like, quite nice. But like, I couldn't do like, people have like cookie crisp cereal where it's basically little sugar biscuits, and it's like, I used to go crazy for them when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah, I used to love them. I was like, why would you not start the day with this? You know, it's because I didn't understand the consequences of anything. So, like,
kids do. my Austrian Nana and now my dad, who's her son, both like massive feeders.
Yeah.
But my dad, and now I'm watching my dad do with my son what my Nana used to do. She used to give me a bowl of jam and a spoon. And my dad, because he's inherited that like mindset, will give my 2-year-old an ice cream. Fair enough, that is a lovely thing for a granddad to do. And as he's eating it, say, "You can have another one after that."
Wow.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of dark side of it. But on the plus side, I can't remember what I had for breakfast. I don't think I was having sugary stuff, but maybe because it was an option, I wasn't like, "I really want it."
Yeah.
But he did say, because my kid asks for like food constantly, asks for food and will ask for snacks in the middle of meals, and he'll like, and he'll say like, "I want something exciting to eat. I want a treat. I want a treat." And he's got little sweet tooth. And I'm just like, "Oh God, is this our doing?" And then Dad went, "No, I think that's all kids. It's just like say, like, if you don't understand the consequences of anything, of course, then you want a cake after a cake after a cake." And he doesn't fuck about now. Even at 2, he'll go, "Can I have 2 cakes?"
Yeah.
Not, "Can I have a cake?"
Yeah. Straight in with it. "What's for pudding" was my catchphrase. I used to say it during dinner when we were eating the savoury, whatever the main course was, and I'd ask what's for pudding, and they'd always say, "We don't tell you." Remember, like, it's like all the other times you ever asked, "We don't tell you until after we've finished the main course." And I knew that, but I couldn't wait. I'd always ask while eating the mains.
It's also really, I always used to use the stand-up about that. I think there's something so funny about that being your actual catchphrase. James, what's for pudding, a catchphrase?
What's for pudding, It'd be great if it was your catchphrase if you were just saying it on stage. What's for pudding?
Like a wrestler, come on, like a wrestler. James, what's for pudding, a catchphrase? That's very funny. Also, there's something a bit torturous in refusing to tell you until you'd eaten your mains. Is that because if you knew the pudding at the end of the tunnel, then the tunnel would get...
That I'd almost go, "This isn't worth it. I'm not getting..."
You're not even going
to... Yeah. So I can do without... So it would most likely be if I was eating something and thinking, "Oh, this is bland." Like, what's a pudding? Is this worth my while?
Delicious.
I've made some lumpy juice.
Lovely.
It's lumpy. I probably haven't
missed
it for long enough.
Is the idea that...
Do you want to guess what's in it?
Yeah,
you can guess what's in it.
You
told me you like everything, so
I've got an awful... I don't think my palate's actually as good as I'd like, but... It's very nice.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know whether it's a juice or a smoothie, and I don't know what the difference between a juice and a smoothie is.
No.
There's no dairy... Like, there's nothing creamy in it.
Yeah.
So I'd call it juice.
Mm-hmm. Apples?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Whole apple and an apple juice.
Great.
I don't think I'd guess the rest if I didn't already know.
No?
No. There's 3 more things in it.
3 more? Okay.
I've never done it like this. Guess what I've made you.
It's fine. No. I'm going to say this, but I think it's absolutely crazy to say.
Yeah.
No one puts rhubarb in smoothies, do they?
There's no rhubarb in there. Even though I've got a fair bit in my freezer, there's no rhubarb in there.
Yeah, I don't know why I think there was. But,
No, I can get that, actually. But also there's little pink flecks in it, which I think may have given you that hint. But I think that's just the skin off that apple.
Yeah. There's something that's sort of just a bit more...
I'm worried that a combination of pretty boring, straightforward things has given you the illusion of there being something a bit more exotic in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is there like... I don't know, like... grapes? I'm not going to get this.
You're not going to get this. There's an orange.
Okay.
A banana.
Okay.
A frozen one.
Yeah.
And kale. Frozen.
So this is a classic smoothie.
It's a classic smoothie.
It's like original smoothie.
The original smoothie, except local yogurt, just apple juice.
Banana. Well, I was in America recently, and I think everything I ate had banana in it.
Really?
Because it's my favourite fruit.
Okay.
My catchphrase when I was a kid was, "Where's the banana?" and I just love it in desserts and stuff.
Yeah.
And, So I went to Trader Joe's, which is one of my favourite places in the world, and got the frozen banana slices. So they're just slices of banana in dark chocolate. And
is Trader Joe's like a pudding place?
It's like a supermarket. So it's
nice.
A supermarket that's meant to be healthier than a normal supermarket.
Okay.
So like, but there are like plenty of treats in there, and that's why I go there. So
right.
I'm going there for the treats anyway.
And they do just frozen slices of banana.
Yeah. So then you put that in the fridge, and they're in dark chocolate. They're delicious. In the freezer, sorry. Mm. But also we went to that Magnolia Bakery, which is, I think, in Sex and the City.
Oh, wow.
Where they do the banana pudding.
Oh.
And it's like this whipped kind of creamy pudding with like bits of banana and like kind of bready kind of stuff in it.
And oh, it's nice. So not like cookie dough.
No, like probably like, you know, fluffy bread.
Brioche or something.
Yeah, it's like really fluffy. Oh, it's so good. And it, but like, it's like, I'm quite, when I was like late teens, early 20s, I'd just smash a whole thing of Ben and Jerry's or whatever without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Now I can't do that because my conscience gets in the way.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so funny that you've been, but you know that you won't get diabetes, but there's still this like a moral imperative. Do you think it's just getting older? As in, like,
most Christian,
you're more closer to mortality.
Well.
Really?
Yeah, just based in guilt. I have like this weird guilt about everything, and so like with my relationship with desserts is so weird.
Really?
Because, like, yeah, because I really, really want the dessert.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that's like, you gotta treat yourself. This is gonna be great. And this is what life is about, is doing stuff that you like, and it'll be delicious. And then, as soon as I've ordered it,
yeah,
I'm going, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And I got that straight away.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, and then I'll eat it, and I'll be, so the amount of times I've ruined the dessert before it's even arrived, because I then start a conversation.
The shame you've attached to it.
Yeah, I kind of start a conversation with the people I'm sitting down with, around the table, about, like, sometimes we all do it, so we're all feeling guilty that we've ordered desserts, and so we all start talking about desserts we've had, and, like, you know, like, times where we were very good and didn't, like, do, and got a healthy one, or times when we're like, oh, I had this one once, and like, I'm kind of reasoning, like, well, I haven't really had one in a while, and we're kind of having that kind of chat, and then, like, oh, we already all regret this, why have we done this to ourselves, why don't we just order it and not care?
There's like, I think there's a general awareness that groups of women historically have spoken like that around meals. I just remembered, you've reminded me of a really funny Smash the Pony sketch from ages ago.
Yeah.
Where they're just about to, they've ordered dessert, but they're talking basically, and she's eating a chocolate cake and going, I don't even eat chocolate anymore.
Yeah.
And then they start like smoking and going, yeah, I mean, I gave up 4 years ago. But it is that mentality of, maybe it would help if, like, there probably is somewhere a dessert place or a dessert menu where the names of it are like, no regrets, just order it, don't talk about it. Actually just giving you some top tips about how to actually enjoy.
I think there are some that are like that.
Yeah.
So much of the time, like, I have like treats in the house.
Yeah.
That are things that I really like. So I bought Trader Joe's stuff back, and like, I've got some really nice things in my fridge. And so that helps sometimes. No, I've got those really nice things there. But what I do is that I'll get drunk, come home, and then while drunk, I'll eat them because I know that, I kind of know in the moment, I won't regret it now.
Yeah.
Like, I can act as my only chance to actually eat these things without any trace of regret or guilt.
It's so true.
But then I don't remember it.
If you, oh God, yeah, then you don't have the memory of the lovely thing. But then how much do you ever remember the actual? Have you ever had a meal that you remember certain puddings?
Yeah.
Is it always puddings?
No, there's other things as well. Yeah, definitely, depending on where you go. But and I only really order a dessert if I'm like, I've got to have that.
Yeah.
If it's a boring kind of like one that,
I guess maybe I'm just like a doctor would slap me, but I just want you to have all the desserts. I think
you've
got one life.
Yeah.
The ways of counteracting it. But also I think that conversation that we have with ourselves is so unhelpful. Because I do it with other things as well. Like exactly that same thing where you'll be like, oh, if I have this, you do yourself out of enjoying a thing. And it's simply like that, you know, you're having a really good time on a night out and you're like, oh, okay. Do you know what? I will have one more, but and that means then I'm going to be so clean living for a week, and da-da-da. And then you're like, you, actually in your head you'd already gone home, so you're not really enjoying that last one, and then invariably that's exactly when everything conversation dries up, and every you've made everyone think about going home. Ruined it. Let's try this so that we try it.
Thank you.
I feel like I've you've got a slightly smaller one.
No, no. Well, my bowl's different. It's a different. It makes things look smaller. Yeah.
Hmm. I think it needs to be sweeter. I've taken a risk on some. I need some dairy, but I don't need loads of it. And I've used an Alpro cherry yogurt, but with no added sugar.
Right, but I quite like that.
You don't
mind
it? I
like what's coming from. Yeah, because I.
Because those as sort of the fruits in it are so sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I like it. I like how that cuts through the cherry as it goes on. Because you. Also, yeah, you get more flavours as you go. It doesn't all hit you at once. They all kind of like. Yeah. I wouldn't make this sweeter.
Okay. I've got a freakishly unsweet tooth. But I'm constantly being berated by my loved ones for making things too sharp or too salty.
My whole family, apart from my mum, has a massive sweet tooth. So it's like, my dad has the biggest sweet tooth out of probably anyone I've ever met.
Really?
Yeah. And then me and my brother and sister all do, and my brother-in-law does as well. So any kind of like kids' birthday parties, the cake is being eyed up by an embarrassing amount of grown-ups.
Get in.
We're all there looking over at it. I'm going to get that later. my dad has asked about when we're having the cake before 5-year-old children have it.
Get in.
When are we having that?
And so if your mum hasn't got a sweet tooth, but was it her doing cooking when you were growing up?
It was, yeah. No.
Three of us
and my dad. My dad would only cook on pancake day.
Okay.
That was not the tradition.
Yeah.
Was that, yeah, it's pancake day and dad always makes the pancakes. I'm not sure why it was the tradition. So nice. My mum's a brilliant cook. Really good at baking as well and stuff. And yeah, she would do all that.
So she enjoyed it?
Yeah, I think she did.
Yeah. Where
did
you get fussy?
All the time anyway. No, not really. I wasn't. Maybe my brother doesn't like nuts in things.
Okay.
I'm more aware of that now as adults. He doesn't like nuts in things, although he loved peanut butter as a kid, so that's controversial. yeah. That was it. We were pretty. Because also, we were just told, you know, to eat it.
Yeah.
And,
I suppose actually, once you've got three kids, you can't muck about that much. Yeah. You can't be like.
Yeah.
Can you imagine doing three different dinners?
Yeah.
A parent somewhere doing that for their three kids.
Yeah.
Hats off to your mum if she was actually like cooking actual stuff.
Mm.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No.
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
I was weirdly embarrassed about it as a kid. Like, I thought, anything homemade was like really skanky. And like, you know, like
it's so true.
Why,
do you like, think that's like an 80s thing? Because it was just as there was like, if my mum did my lunchbox, it would be like a sandwich and some fruit and like a really healthy, really nice homemade stuff. If my dad did it, it would be a nice sandwich, but then a penguin, some shit crisps. I was always so jealous of the people that had a Lunchable.
Yeah.
But actually,
well, I was jealous of like, not jealous, but like, I felt self-conscious about, so like my mum made her own bread.
Wow.
So we would have like homemade bread sandwiches, which tasted way better than the other kids' sandwiches, and yet I was embarrassed about it. I remember once she made me this cookie, and it was two chocolate biscuits with, so it's like almost a homemade penguin, with like chocolate cream in the middle, but it was a big, it was huge, and she made us that. And I remember,
that is wicked.
Yeah, but I opened my lunchbox in front of these other kids, and no one batted an eyelid.
Yeah.
But I instantly went, oh no, oh, my mum's made a biscuit, rubbish. And this kid, I still remember him, Jamie Thompson. This is my only kind of like interaction I ever had with him. He was a really small boy. And he went, oh, I'll swap you for my penguin. I went, yeah, great. So I did that. And then I remember he sat opposite me eating it. And he ate it with two hands like a squirrel. Eating it, but looking really content and happy with himself. And just looking around, he was looking around the room really happy eating this biscuit. And I was eating his penguin and just being like, oh, I've been done here.
Yeah.
Like, I've really, why did I do that?
Jamie struck gold.
And also, to be able to see someone else eat that biscuit and go, he doesn't look like an idiot. Like, no one's looking at him going, like, who's the skank kid bringing in the, you know, homemade biscuit? Why did I think people would look at me like that? Like, I never did that again. I was then really glad of
that. That broke the spell.
Yeah,
that's really like, good.
But I was sitting there just being like, I can't believe it. I've been a fool.
I never would have remembered it if you hadn't said, but I think I suffered from a similar, like, mismatched logic. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But I would do the same thing, be embarrassed when I had something that felt a bit whole foody or a bit kind of, oh, they've made too much effort. Embarrassing. Maybe that was the thing. But actually, like, oh, my word, to have homemade bread and a homemade penguin or bourbon.
Yeah.
Well, good for that kid. Yeah. Your mum didn't ask you how it was when you got home.
No.
Thank God.
Although, she wouldn't care.
Really?
If she'd gone, how was it? And I'd gone, I swapped it with Jamie Thompson, she would have just thought, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
She would have, like, what did you swap it for? A penguin. You're a fool.
You're a fool.
Yeah.
You're lost. That's quite nice, then. If she's got, like, most of the people I know who had one parent who was an exquisite cook or baker, the parent needed quite a lot of praise for it. As do I. If I make something for lots of people, I really like it. But like, baking especially is hard.
Yeah.
I want someone to go, well done.
Yeah. No, she knew she was good.
Okay, fine. Yeah, she just baseline confidence is pretty high.
Yeah, the amount that she had to restrict us and be like, you know, you can have two a day. But then as we got older, the rule had to be when they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
Instead, so it's like, I'm making a batch of chocolate chip cookies, they're going to be in the biscuit barrel, and when you finish them, I'm not making any more until whatever, a month's time.
Yeah,
so it's like cereal again, so it's like. And then we've got absolutely nothing. Which meant the double chocolate chip cookies were the best, but it was chocolate biscuit and chocolate chips in it, and they were so chewy. And they're still some of the best biscuits I've ever had. And we'd get home and like just be straight in that biscuit barrel.
She sounds good enough. She could go on Bake Off.
Well, we've tried to encourage her that kind of stuff, but she won't have any of it.
No. So now I want to know of you three, and including you, did any of you learn anything? Do you cook now?
I don't cook enough now because I'm always touring and away. I've got like a few dishes I can cook that I enjoy cooking when I am home, but it's rare that I do. She taught me how to make this roasted butternut squash. I like doing that, so and just stuffing it. It's one of those things that I asked how to learn how to make it because I thought it was healthy,
right?
And then you make it and go, I'm just putting loads of blue cheese in a butternut squash. I don't think it's actually that healthy. It's like walnuts and blue cheese and, you know, butter. And you mash it all together with the squash and then keep it in there. And then, it's just a very easy kind of like, you're even meant to put honey over the top. I don't do that, but like, it's like, this is the most unhealthy thing ever. So I very occasionally make that. For a while, there was this Swedish meatball like recipe that I got off David Trent, and he sent it to me. He made it for me when I was over there. I was like, it's delicious. And it's just sausage meatballs that you're basically peeling a bunch of skin off the sausages, mashing them all up into balls, and then cooking them in a creamy kind of sauce.
Oh, nice! Not that tomato-y sauce.
No, like a cream and like beef stock and stuff like that. And that's very nice.
Like a stroganoff sauce.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it is really like having that with tagliatelle. Made that for a bit. Went for a phase of making that. And then, like, just met Tom Allen, taught me how to make Mexican eggs one morning in Edinburgh.
Excellent.
So, Nigella's Mexican eggs. So,
what's Nigella's Mexican eggs?
So you cut a tortilla into some strips and put them in the frying pan and crisp them up. And then you put a bunch of chili, spring onions and tomatoes in the frying pan and do them. Then add the tortilla strips and about 3 eggs.
Wow. Just fried on top.
Yeah, into the pan. Just beat them all together, mix them all together and everything.
Wow.
Quite quickly, actually. And then, and chilies as well. Did I say chilies earlier? No, more chilies. Oh, I already said chilies. But, and you can add, so the more I've done, the more I've just added, like, sometimes I'll fry up potatoes first, like little cubed up potatoes, and cook them in something like this, maybe just paprika or something. And then add everything else to that. And just build it up and just, like, bell peppers and cut them up and add them in.
Oh, amazing. So, Chorizo would work in that.
Yeah, I've done that before. Yeah, absolutely done that. But I always just don't make too much. I just have a huge amount and have to, like, convince other people and have some. But that's a nice way to start the day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I love spicy breakfasts. I think they're controversial, but more and more people are getting... Not controversial. I mean, if you're, like, deciding what to make for someone and you haven't told them what it is you're making. But more and more people are into it.
Yeah, yeah. If I've got to cook just for myself, I'm like, oh, actually, I can't be bothered, and I'll do something else. But if there's anyone else, you do it. And as soon as you start cooking, or chopping up something or whatever, you're like, oh, this is great, I love this.
Yeah.
You remember how much you enjoy it.
There must be something, an added mentality. It's not just about eating it. Mm. You add something so much more to what you put into something if you know you're going to get to feed it to someone else, especially some people you love, people you like. I mean, it's magic.
Yeah.
When you're travelling all the time, does that change how, what is your eating like when you go always travelling? Mm-hmm. I think there's a stereotype that comedians are like always having a pasty from a service station. I don't know whether I just know lots of more grown up ones, but I feel like getting a bit healthier than that.
I think that stereotype comes from a time where there wasn't any other options.
That's so, like, true, yeah.
And so even when we started, when we started stand up, we started at a similar time, I think.
2008.
Yeah, 2008. So, like, yeah, when we started, I swear that even then, motorway services didn't necessarily have a Marks and Spencers in them. It was It was so. You were like, if it was late and you were coming back, you're like, oh, my options are pretty limited here. And still, now when it's late, it is like, Marks and Spencers will be shut and my choice in those services. But Starbucks will probably be open, which does have some options that are good.
Little fruit salad,
Or
like a toasty.
Those things in the box that they do there, they do them in little boxes where it is like, you know, basically like a hot salad.
Yeah.
Or like a hot, like some squash and stuff like that, all chopped up. And, you go, well, this is a much better option than before.
Yeah,
and then you start to learn where the Starbucks are and where to stop and where to get those.
Yeah.
So I'm quite good, like, at making sure I go to those places. I'm not necessarily... I know, you know, people always burst your bubble by being like, well, what did you have? None of that's healthy.
Yeah.
And then they ruin it for you. But you go, there's healthy and there's healthier.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just healthier than I would be if I wasn't. So, you know, it's like, if I'm eating a naked bar and someone's like, that's not that healthy, you know, you go, yeah, it's healthier than a Mars bar, which is what I want, so, like, you know, this is actually
so
fine.
True. Yeah. And if you shut your eyes, it does taste sort of like it might have once been near a baked potato. There's such a kind of, like, there's such a poor version of what they're meant to be, those naked bars, but I also love them.
I love them,
But the same thing, why do people go, oh, well, it's actually just full of dates, which is just another type of sugar? Oh, it can't be as bad!
Yeah, yeah.
It's not as bad.
But, like, it's like, but all that stuff is like, I, on one tour, and you won't mind me saying this, hopefully, but my friend, colleague and tour supporter at the time, Stuart Laws, would get, he ate a lot of Krispy Kreme donuts.
Right.
And it's meant that I can't eat Krispy Kremes now.
Really?
Because I think I joined him on the first one, and then he had another one just, you know, it wasn't the same day. It was like, you know, the next day or, you know, a couple of days later. But it was too early for me to have another one. And I was like, a card. It literally has meant I can't. I like donuts still.
Yeah, yeah.
But Krispy Kremes, I can't go anywhere near them.
I used to think they were great. Got something.
And by the way, just to make this clear, he did not eat it like a pig or anything. I don't want people listening to this going, Stuart Laws must eat donuts, really disgusting.
Stuart Laws is such a animal pig. I really like the idea that the main issue with it wasn't that, it wasn't it, the extremity of sugar and fat combined, it was just that he was like,
eating
it like a goblin.
Yeah.
Stuart Laws is such a lovely man. Lovely. I can imagine he's quite a dainty donut eater. I think that Krispy Kremes are, but the first time I ever had one, and it was just one of the plain like ones, which are the most popular.
Yeah,
I would argue probably the best.
Why?
I got a headache afterwards. Not for long, but a little headache, and was like, oh, that can't be good.
Yeah.
And I don't get that generally if I have a donut. So
there is something about those ones that, when I first had them, I just was like, oh, this is my favourite thing in the world. I'm going to just keep on eating these. And now I've got no interest in them.
I wonder if it's that the sugar is so fine. Yeah. But it's Stuart Laws. But it's goblin Stuart Laws.
Having two in a week, which made me like, oh, no, Stuart. But almost like, I've never like felt like I was eating something while watching someone else eat it. But like, I mean, that was it. Like, he was eating, I was like, oh, I couldn't. I was like, do you want a Krispy Kreme? I couldn't. And then as he's eating it, I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm eating it, and I can't take it on right now.
You've reminded me.
I think that's what it was.
When you were saying that, like, feel like you're eating it while you're watching someone else eat it, but that thing that you did with Ed Gamble, that was so funny, where you were eating puddings that he can't have because he's diabetic.
Yeah, yeah.
And on paper, it sounds like, what torture for Ed, but then you watch it and you're like, no, the joke's on you, because he's really directing you.
Yeah, yeah, like Ed just decides exactly what I eat.
Yeah, so, get more of that on the spoon. Get more of that on the spoon. This is horrible.
And it's lovely for Ed, like, because actually a lot of us like watching other people eat something that we want to eat or that we want them to eat. So, like, yeah, for him, it's really great to be like, okay, what's that? And of course, you know, once the cameras are off, he does a blood sugar test and has to see how much he can have regulated stuff.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Did you eat anything particularly remarkable?
Well, there was some really amazing stuff. It was really delicious. Like, you know, the nicest thing was we went to Chin Chin Labs, which is an ice cream place, and they do like the liquid nitrogen stuff.
Yeah, where it makes it cold really, really fast.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really amazing watching them do that. And what's nice about their ice cream, I think, is that they're not too sweet, so they kind of like make it. So they did this, it was that thing that tastes good vanilla bean but isn't vanilla. And I can't remember it now.
Something like that.
Oh, does it?
I'll look it up.
But like it was that, but it basically made me a s'more, so it was like a chocolate brownie cookie, the ice cream, some marshmallow, And I thought this would be really sickly and awful, and actually it was quite subtle and nice, and I really liked that.
Nice. That's
probably the nicest thing I've had.
I'll tell you what, I'll put a link to that clip online.
Yeah, yeah.
See the podcast next.
Small cookie. Off menu item at the time it was.
Oh!
So go in and ask for it. I love off menu.
Nice. Something amazing.
Yeah.
But what, when you ask them for something that you already knew you wanted, especially if you're going there expecting to have it and it's not on the menu, and then you go, but could you do it here anyway? And they go, yeah.
Yeah. I saw that Five Guys, which Stuart Laws also loves.
Yeah.
But
I need to do a podcast with Stuart Laws.
Yeah, you clearly do. He introduced me to Five Guys. On that same tour, it took me about three goes to get it.
Right.
I was like, that seems alright. But once you get your toppings right.
Okay, so I haven't been to Five Guys because I don't eat meat at the moment.
Yeah.
Generally, as a rule.
Yeah.
But I've heard, and I'll be interested to see whether this is the case. It's so expensive that you might as well just get the works.
Right, yeah.
To make
it
worth it. Don't go there and spend a fiver just on some chips.
Yeah. I'd say that's good advice.
And what's perfect topping?
I get a lot of toppings, so I'd have to go. Be able to see the board to tell you what you're but off the top of my head, so I'll have lettuce, grilled onions, grilled mushrooms, grilled peppers, the relish, and the sometimes I have the mustard, but then sometimes there's another thing, I'm like mayonnaise. There's a whole bunch, because I do have a lot of the toppings.
I was going to say, is there anything left? Bacon? You haven't said bacon or avocado?
Always have bacon. There's no avocado on there, for shame. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff, but like, I didn't get what the fuss was about. And then I had one that I had the right toppings on, and I was like, this is great. And it's my favourite burger. But, so what I tried to do once was go in and get the off-menu item, which I saw on YouTube. I was watching YouTube videos of off-menu items you can get at fast food places. And they said in Five Guys you can go in and get a grilled cheese burger where the sort of burger patties, it's grilled cheese sandwiches. And you can go in and just get that.
Ooh.
But the thing is with going in to a place and asking for an off-menu item is that you kind of just have to confidently ask for it.
Yeah.
And you can't really go in and tiptoe. And I tiptoed to it. But also, I think I was speaking to somebody that's maybe their first day.
So they care about all the rules.
I was like, do you do the off menu items here? And she said, yes. I went, can I have the grilled cheese burger? And she was like, oh, you want a grilled cheese sandwich? I was like, grilled cheese burger? She went, we do a grilled cheese sandwich that's off menu. I was like, oh no. I thought it was grilled cheese burger. She was like, no, we don't do that. And I was like, oh, it must be just America. And like, you know, only America you can have them, and I'm trying to get them in London. Then I met someone, like about a week later, who works at Five Guys, just at a gig. And I asked them about the grilled cheese. She said, yeah, we do those. If you ask for it, we do the grilled cheeseburger.
Oh no!
I just got the wrong person.
Have you tried again since?
I'm gonna at some point.
Please do, let me know.
But like, at the minute, like... Like, I know I keep going on about just getting back from America, but when I'm there, I eat so badly.
Well, it's another universe.
But now I'm back. I'm like, I've got to have a break before
just have a little
something like that again. Yeah.
I went to America for a month when I was 9 or 10. My uncle's always lived there.
Yeah.
And he's always moved around because he worked in construction. And I was only 9 or 10 years old, and I put on a stone in a month.
Wow.
That is incredible for a nine.
But then that's, you have no self-control at 9 or 10. I mean, you're letting yourself off the leash, aren't you? I mean,
but every time I've been, basically, I've thought in some way, they just have enormous portions of incredible food.
Yeah. And it's difficult, so you are just sitting there going, well, I can't get this back home.
Yeah. But so you're in holiday mode there, or you're working and you're travelling, whatever, but you just eat out loads. And as far as I'm aware, there's lots of... That seems to be part of my uncle's culture a lot more. I mean, actually, he eats out quite a lot at the moment here, and it's lovely, but... Mm. I go through patches of being pretty homely in terms of making stuff, and you'd probably have a meal out at least every other day, at least one meal out. There's a much bigger reverence for that, and then when your portion sizes are huge when you're out, mind you, he's always been a skinny bastard. It's bonkers, isn't it? You might maybe think of two things. Like, one of them is it's definitely just the confidence you ask with, because I remember watching my dad get a McDonald's breakfast and say, I don't want a drink, thanks, I'll have another hash brown instead.
Oh,
repeatedly,
great.
And that always be fine.
Great.
Never works for me because I can't help apologising as I ask.
Yeah.
And almost that thing where you want to whisper it anyway because of the filthiness of what you're asking.
Yeah.
But also the grilled mushrooms on the burger. I don't think anybody thinks to put. I would never, if I was making burgers at home, think stick some mushrooms on there.
Yeah.
Onions, you think about. Yeah. Avocados, all the salad-y things, but not mushrooms, and mushrooms are great. And when I was growing up, whenever we went to Burger King for a treat, my mum would always order, and she's like the healthy one, the vegetable one, but they used to do a Burger King burger called Swiss Double Cheese.
Oh, nice.
And it was like bacon double cheese, but instead of bacon, just layers of this really nice Swiss cheese and tons of mushrooms.
Yeah.
And that would be an off-menu thing sometimes.
Mushrooms are one of those things that I feel sorry for the people who don't like them. Like, those people who don't like them, because they make such a big deal about not liking them. Like, they're really proud of it. Like, you're disgusting for liking mushrooms. And I feel so sorry for them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't understand. You don't know what you're missing out on. And to be so vocal about it is actually really, really sad. It's like, you're really missing it. The joke's on you.
It's so true. And I don't know, I learned an amazing thing. I bet you already know if you're a big mushroom fan.
Right.
But like an absolute wanker, it was a present, but I went mushroom foraging.
Oh, great.
Like a tour, like a lesson, and then in the forest. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And we ate all these mushrooms that looked like they'd be killer, but they weren't, or whatever. But anyway, at the end of it, we all sat together on like a camp stove, and they got this like paella dish almost out. And then he basically made us scrambly eggs with all the weirdy mushrooms, all the light mushrooms, and then the darker ones he fried separately, and we tried them on their own.
Yeah.
But with all the lighter ones, and okay, you already know this, but if anyone listening doesn't, when you cook frying mushrooms, you don't put oil in.
Okay.
Because there's so much liquid, there's so much water in mushrooms
that
you're meant to put them in dry on quite a high heat, and then stir them a bit, but wait for all that, you'll see steam coming off them, and when it's stopped and they're just about to start maybe browning, then you stick a bit of oil in.
Right, okay.
Otherwise, the oil will be diluted in with the water and they won't cook in such a nice way. And they taste, if you do it like that, they taste so much more mushroomy.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Get in!
Great.
I don't know how much of a difference it will make with like a straight up button mushroom, but if you're using a chestnut one, or maybe one of those big ones with the broader gills where all the flavour is.
Me and this is years ago, this is open spot years, it's me, Joel Dommett, and George Rygold, whose name I've now forgotten.
Toby Williams!
But it was all of us at a festival.
Yeah.
Port Elliot Festival.
Lovely.
And we thought we were queuing up for burgers, but they were the portobello mushroom burgers. We didn't know that. With the halloumi. And this is like, we'd never had portobello mushrooms before, never had halloumi cheese before.
Yeah.
And we went insane. It was so nice, but we couldn't get over the fact that we had. Also, someone didn't, I think Joel, didn't realise it was a mushroom until he was halfway through the burger. And was like, oh, this is a. And it was. I mean, we kept on going around all day.
Obviously, it's happened to you. I can't wrap my head around the experience of both those things for the first time at once.
It was.
Especially when you're coming in from a place of initial disappointment.
Yeah.
Because you're expecting something else.
It was one of the most unexpected. There was that, in terms of like unexpectedly nice food that like really like, you know, blew my mind. There was that, and then something else, which was, is this sandwich that I got from under an archway in London Bridge. Just this guy just selling a sandwich out of thing, and I think he had made like a normal ham salad sandwich and then just dunked it in olive oil. And then and then wrapped it up in cling film. I think he'd done that. Because like I was eating it, going, this is the most like, but it was so delicious. But I was like, what's this guy done with this? Because I've never had anyone do
was
that
it
before.
Red tasted.
It wasn't. It was just like, and I was like, I don't know what he had done, but it was like, I mean, it was pretty oily and moist, and I was like, I think he's put olive oil in this. I think it's just that's what he's done. But like, it was so nice.
A really good olive oil is the tits. Like,
yeah.
Like a really swanky pants one.
Hello, it's me. I'm interrupting myself, and I'm allowed to because it's my podcast. I know it's annoying, though, so I'm going to be very quick. I just want to say, if you live in London or you're close to London, I'm running some new material gigs this autumn and winter to start working up stuff for my new show. So please may you come. They're going to be so cheap, like £3, and I'm going to be on the bill with amazing other comedians, like seriously amazing. Some of them are so big and brilliant, I'm not allowed to list them until the last minute, but I can promise you that each lineup is going to be off the charts. It's only going to be £3. I think I said that. The first one's on the 1st of October, and that goes on sale today. And it's a tiny venue, so get in there quick. Please just search online for We Got Tickets Honers Club. And new dates will be released really soon. I would love it if you could come. Hopefully see you there. Thanks.
Have you ever had a food fight?
No, and it's a shame because there are certain things that when you're a kid are in your life constantly because of TV and films, and I think a food fight is one of them. When you're a kid, you're watching food fights on telly every week, and there's always an episode of something that ends with someone shouting food fight and everyone has a food fight or whatever, and you just assume, well, I guess I'll have a food fight one day, and it just never happens.
No, heartbreaking. But then also on the upside, the few beginnings of food fights I've ever been involved in, I instantly was like, this isn't as good as one of the films.
No,
this is shit actually.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch.
Yeah,
it's a huge
Jackie potato like it.
It's the
I haven't had a jacket potato thrown at me that actually, so I have had that, but this is not a food fight. Well, I used to work in the kitchen,
right,
and the head chef was 23, was the oldest, so and so just horrible, and he was a bully, like a horrible bully. Well, I say a horrible bully, that's like he's like he was like just very unpleasant to me all the time, and like I had to kind of deal with it. And he used to get jacket potatoes that were wrapped up in tin foil, and he would the work areas, the tables, his metal tables were like dick height,
right,
and so he would just roll them. Like bowl them, you just bowl them along these the table surfaces, and it would he could get you from across the room from diagonally,
right in the nuts,
and get you right in the nuts, and it hurt so much. But like, he would do it all the time because he just got really good at stuff. Like all those things are kind of a skill. I'm really good at whipping people with a towel now.
Are you?
Yeah, because you learn the secret is that as you go towards them, go really slowly, and then it's actually just pull back fast, and then that becomes, rather than too many people fling it immediately and try and go fast from the get go, and you don't get much on that. But if you just like really gently just like move it towards them and then
quick whip back, you're really good at badminton.
I like playing badminton.
Let's play badminton.
Yeah,
but I can't smash. I shouldn't have told you that. Now you know my Achilles heel.
I'm playing badminton because I've got got my stuff, haven't played it in a while, but like I was playing with my friend Sam, who was he was great. He used to play squash for Northamptonshire, and so he was really good, and so he would just thrash me every week. But it meant that I got a lot of exercise because I'd have to run. He was putting the shuttlecock places that always somewhere where I wasn't, so I had to run over there really fast.
It's amazing. I think it's the first time I've ever played a sport and gone, oh my god, I'm really sweaty. I didn't even notice I was having so much fun.
Yeah.
We used to play every lunchtime in the sixth form, and then I really wanted to pick it back up, but the only club I could find near where I lived was this like little old hut somewhere in Eltham. It was a few years ago, and there were like four young people who were amazing, and then the rest were very elderly people who were doing it as hobby. But my god, they were demons.
They would move
from the net. But if you got one of them paired with one of the young people that could cover the back, and you couldn't get anything past them at the net. They moved like so fast, they just couldn't run. But their reflexes were off the charts. News comes back from a robo-satellite's wing with a clever arm for getting samples that there's a substance on Mars, which if we mixed with a few other things, probably Fanta and denim, would create a material that we can build a magnetic net out of, which would only work in the sea, and then it would attract all the types of plastic and litter and shit in there that we don't want in there. Nothing yeah. else, wouldn't ruin anything or disrupt anything else. Yeah. Basically, it would get all the litter up out of the sea, and it wouldn't then we have to landfill it, it would vanish it. The net like would dissolve the like, dissolve because then it's back in the sea. Anyway, it would yeah. vanish it forever. But to get that satellite robo wing on to collect enough of it, the Martians have specifically requested that you, and it does have to be you, do a 48-hour Macarena. Hey Macarena. But as many people can watch as they like, but it's only you doing it, imagine. But you do it! Yeah. You're a hero! You've saved the seas, you've saved the oceans, but you're really knackered out and sweaty and starving. You're allowed yeah. to shower or whatever you want to feel like.
Yeah.
Pleasant again.
Yeah.
And then your reward is the feast of your dreams. And it can be totally hypothetical. I don't want you to think about healthiness. The things don't even need to exist if you don't want. I don't care what thick bits and bobs you put together, as little or as much as you like. I want to know what you're eating, what you're drinking, who with. Again, they don't have to be realistic.
Yeah.
And where, if there's somewhere particular that you could picture that you'd be to have this feast.
Very nice. Well, first of all, I'm very proud of myself for saving the world.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
It's quite a thing.
So many, like, things that, like... So, And now thinking about some of the best meals I've had and how much I liked those. And also I mentioned that banana right now I just want that banana pudding from Magnolia Bakery.
Stick that in
because
there.
I said that earlier, and apparently they're doing a Boston cream pie one at the moment, because my girlfriend sent me a text of that, and I was like, that looks nice, I'd like to try that. So at the moment I just want to eat that.
Yeah.
And could very easily eat a huge, like, you know, my body weight in it. Also, I would like a beef Wellington. I was in Amsterdam in January, and one night just I was staying with a couple in their flat, and I thought I'd give them the night to themselves because I was around all the time, and so I just like googled like, you know, good places to eat. Went to this place on my own, ordered a beef Wellington for two, because there wasn't an option for one, and I was like, I really want a beef Wellington, I haven't had one in ages. And it was so delicious, it was so perfectly cooked, it was my phone background for a while. It was really good, with this roasted cauliflower, and these kind of like, this broccoli that had like pecans in it.
Nice.
As well.
Ooh.
They bought it with this. There was this bread beforehand that had caramelized butter that had pieces of like almost like pork scratching in it.
Wow!
Ridiculous, ridiculous, unhealthy butter, but it was great. And so, right now, if this happened right now,
yeah.
I would want to eat that main course again.
Yeah,
I'd want to have the banana pudding for dessert. Mm. And drink wise, see, on the way back from. Because I walked to the restaurant and back from it. Often that's how I balance out my natural guilt of eating anything.
Long walks to and from.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
And I think it's like an hour and a half to walk there. So on the way back, I'm walking back. And because I've eaten an entire beef Wellington to myself and two big portions of veg, my body's like, you need to have a shit right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're still an hour away from where you're staying.
Fine.
And this is happening immediately.
Yeah.
So I went in this bar, and it's completely empty. So the barman
really, when you've got an ulterior motive.
Yeah, perfect. But the barman is at the bar and just watches me walk in straight to the bathroom, be in there for like 10 minutes, and then come out. And I'm like, I've got to buy something at this bar.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, can I have something local? It's a locally brewed thing. Because I think when you're abroad or somewhere else, you've got to have... And he was like, he poured me this beer, and he said, oh, it's a sour beer. And I hadn't bothered with sour beers before. And some people don't like them. And I loved, like, it was such a delicious drink. And because I don't
why
drink.
Why that sell? Is it like fermented or something?
Yeah, I don't know what it is that they do with it. I don't know enough about beer, but it's often quite strong with you sour beer as well. But like I don't like cider.
Okay.
Because it was the first drink that I got really drunk on, and blah blah blah. So like, although recently, so I went to the best restaurant I've ever been to recently.
Yes, where's that?
It was in San Francisco. It's called Atelier Cren, and it's one of the chef's tables.
Wow.
So I went to a chef's table because I love Chef's Table on Netflix, watch it a lot. And so it's my girlfriend, and she was like, when we were in San Francisco, there's a Chef's Table restaurant. And do you want to go there?
Wow.
And it was the best meal I've ever had.
Wow. Atelier Cren.
Yeah. And the starter was it started with a dessert, so you can only imagine I'm in heaven. But like, it was a little sphere, and it was like the thinnest possible white chocolate filled with this really crisp, refreshing cider.
Whoa.
And just pops in your mouth immediately. And it was so good. And that's the only time I've enjoyed cider since.
Oh my god.
You know.
What a way to get back on the cider.
Yeah, going off. I was just like, eat a bag of these every day.
Yeah.
Like, chocolate spheres. But like, because cider was the first drink that I liked, alcoholic drink that I liked. Because I didn't used to drink at all.
Mm.
Like, when I was a teenager and everyone was getting drunk, didn't appeal to me, so I didn't do it. And then in my early 20s, I think, like, my friends went to Newquay on holiday, so I went to join them for like 2 days, and then went to this cider farm, and there's samples on the way, it's a tour of the cider farm, and the last thing was this vintage cider, which was kept in barrels that used to have whiskey in it, so that kind of gets into it. And I had a sample of that, and it was, at that point, the nicest drink I'd ever had. And I bought loads for my family, bought them back, and everyone was like, we don't really like cider. I was like, okay. So I had it in the fridge, and I went from not drinking, ever, to I drank a glass of that for breakfast. I literally was getting up, I was having a bowl of cereal and a glass of this vintage cider.
Oh.
That was like made in whiskey barrels, and I wasn't drinking it for the rest of the day. It was just like literally just one glass in the morning, and that was how I did this from like one extreme to the other. But then like on just normal cider, stronger or something, got way too drunk, puked, so it's kind of cider anymore. So I don't really have anything that's like got that sour kind of like alcoholic kind of thing to it.
Yeah.
So this sour beer was a game changer. It was amazing. And I wish I knew the brewery, but like, I'd basically be able to find out what it was by going to the Beef Wellington restaurant.
Yeah. Retracing.
Walking into the leadership. And then going into the nearest pub and then asking them for something local. I think we can find it. So,
perfect.
Like, yeah, I want that as my drink.
Love it. Oh, and you're doing all that there, and who with?
Who with?
Or alone, it's fine.
Yeah, like, because I was asked about this recently, like, if I liked like what if I like dining alone, and I'm just so used to it.
Me too.
Comics, you just get used to like nothing's weird now. Going to cinema alone, which to some people is still a big taboo.
Oh, that like, boggles me. Like eating alone, I kind of get it because there's some community in eating for a lot of people, especially when they grew up eating in families and stuff. And it could be something quite. And sometimes when you see, I don't know. Sometimes when you see someone eating alone, it feels sad to see. But I eat alone all the time. Cinema? Why would you go?
Yeah.
That's not. Unless you're immediately going to go for a drink or food afterwards and talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you not do that on your own?
Yeah.
It's like saying I wouldn't watch telly on my own.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
Sorry. Eating. So I probably. People who I enjoy eating with. So I have my girlfriend there, and also Ed Gamble.
Yeah.
Stuart Laws.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of comics. There's like people who like are proper, like, you know, my foodie friends.
Yeah.
Who really love food. Nish.
Yeah.
Amy Annette. We were like talking about food.
Magic.
Yeah, just, I mean, I'm probably missing people out, but like all my friends who I like talk to about food and text about food whenever I've had anything, that's all there around the table.
Love it.
And all of us enjoying it.
I'm in my tum.
Thanks so much to the brilliant James What's for Pudding Acaster. I believe James is one of the greatest living stand-ups there is. He has a series of three beautiful stand-up shows on Netflix right now called Repertoire, which is something else. He's in the Taskmaster series on Dave, which has just started. And if that's not enough, he has an excellent funny book out called James Acaster, Classic Scrapes. Lastly, he's on Twitter, at James Acaster. So is this podcast, with an entire life of its own on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Please follow it, it's at The Hoovering Pod. Shout about the podcast, rate, review and subscribe. Thank you, please. If you've got money to help this beautiful beast grow, even a few groats in exchange for some cool shit, then go to patreon.com/ The Hoovering Pod. I'm on all the socials as well, at Jessica Fostercue, and I've got those new material gigs coming up in London. Please come if you're local, they'll be so cheap, like £3, and I'll be joined by absolutely brilliant comedians, all doing new stuff. Search online for We Got Tickets, Honus Club. 1st of October, one is released today, and more dates are coming very soon. If you'd like to email me, do it through my website, jessicafostercue.com. Your communications mean everything to me. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.